This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, March 15th, 2026. Crossroads, the way of Jesus, crossing paths. Given by Reverend Grace Lucas, Director of Kingdom Builders.
Good morning, church family. Good morning. It's great to see you. It is my joy this morning to introduce Grace Lucas. And Grace has joined us all the way from Waco, Texas. She is part of the Mid-Texas Conference of the Global Methodist Church, which we're a part of as well here in the Northeast. And Grace will share a little more about her journey to this ministry she's in now and things we experienced this weekend. But to make a long story short, Grace began serving the Lord with a calling to pastor local church and spent time doing that. But through a journey and a lot of a story that unfolded, she ended up being called to devote her time to what she's doing now, disciple making, to training local churches and pastors and anybody who wants to hear how to be ordinary, everyday disciple makers the way Jesus taught. Grace is a friend. She is a mentor and a coach of mine in disciple making. I've met her just about a year ago, and it was because our paths crossed. I'm about crossing paths today through some connections that we didn't foresee, and we ended up being in the same groups together, and her ministry of disciple making that began in the Texas area has spread and brought her all the way to Delaware. So praise God for bringing her here, and we have just spent the weekend with her with 20 people from Connection Church and a few friends from New Jersey, Friday evening and Saturday, learning, opening the scriptures, listening to the Holy Spirit, and putting it into practice. And she'll talk a little more about that. It was a powerful time. We saw the Lord move people. Is there anything better? Is there anything better than that? We seriously got to experience His grace in such wonderful ways. But one thing I will say about Grace to introduce her as she gets ready to share what God's given her today is that when I am being taught by Grace, in the times I've been part of coaching groups, training groups this weekend, I feel like I'm being taught by Jesus. I feel like she teaches the way Jesus would teach us about disciple making. I have a better way to put that into words now after the first service. The reason I think that's true for me is not just because of the grace with which Grace teaches and the way she brings us back to simple biblical truths, but there's some people who teach what they know, and there's some people who teach what they live. And you're going to hear with some of what she shares with us this morning that Grace is somebody who teaches what she lives. And I want to be more like that. So let's give a big warm welcome to Grace. And we're just so excited for what God has for us this morning. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, David. He did that in the first service, and I couldn't see my notes because I had tears in my eyes, but I was ready for it this time, so. Yeah, so as we begin today, I wanted just to kind of start with a simple practice of sharing joy with one another. I know we greeted each other a little earlier, but joy is one of those emotions that is best, is basically shared between two people or between us and our personal God that we have. And so I want you to hear me say this, and then I want you to think as I'm saying this to you, where are you feeling this? All right, so here I go. Ready? I am so glad to be with you today. Where did you feel that? Right here. You're just tapping her heart, right here in her heart, right there. So turn to your neighbor and tell them with sincerity, authenticity, I am glad to be with you today. Can you do that? So brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this truth. God is always glad to be with you. Let me say that again. Jesus is always glad to be with you. Now, sometimes I'm not so glad to be with myself, but I will tell you that Jesus is always glad to be with you. And if you know that, how differently can you throw your shoulders back and put that smile on and step out into the world knowing that Jesus is always glad to be with you. Now, as David mentioned, I'm from Waco, Texas. I don't have the y'all drawl, so maybe you can tell I'm not from Waco originally. I'm from Illinois, Peoria, Illinois, a little town about 2 hours south of Chicago. But I'll tell you what, I got to Texas as soon as I could because I love, love, love Texas. Been there 20 years now. I'm bivocational. My family owns 2 skating rinks in Waco. We probably only could support 1, but we have 2, so we're working on that. I, as he mentioned, have really just come to love helping others while I continue to grow myself, because I haven't arrived, to become a disciple maker, to walk into God's call on our life to be Great Commission people, to be ambassadors. And this weekend, we learned about that. We also learned about the importance of prayer as a first and always an essential part of our disciple making. And we spent some time looking at the Holy Spirit's role in disciple making through the book of Acts. And I think that if you kind of went through the book of Acts and you put a line through all the places the Holy Spirit is mentioned, then you really wouldn't have much in terms of the book of Acts, because the Holy Spirit directs the people of God to reach out to others. Yeah, so we had some spiritual conversations in the community this week. We went out, there's 20 of us, we went out. We had almost 40 interactions with people from the community. We're able to bless and pray for about half of those, and it was wonderful. We came back and shared the stories, testified with one another, and had a great time together. But today we're going to look at an ordinary disciple whose name is Ananias. And I need to give you a little background before we get there, because Ananias pops into the story in the middle of the story of Saul's conversion. So let's remember who Saul was. So Saul was a persecutor of the church. And we see in the first time we meet him, he's standing there and the other people are laying their coats at his feet while they stone our first martyr of the church, Stephen. And not only was he watching their coats, he was in hearty approval that they killed him. So he went about all throughout Jerusalem. He put men and women who were followers of the way, the lifestyle and way of Jesus, they were putting those people who were of the way into prison, men and women. But that wasn't enough for Saul. See, he had a zeal to persecute the church. And so he got letters from the chief priests, and he traveled 150 miles. That's one thing I will say I've learned this weekend, is that everything's really close to Delaware. People say, oh, we're from New Jersey, or we travel over to Philadelphia, blah, blah, blah. And we're not used to that in Texas, because in Texas, it's 10 hours from east to west, and it's 8 hours from north, or 14 hours from the north of Texas to the south of Texas. So it's a long way everywhere when you're in Texas. But think about this, 150 miles he travels with these letters to persecute the church in the city of Damascus. And that is the backdrop to the story that we are going to read today from Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. You can follow along on the screen or in your paper Bible or on your phones, but let's look at this story of this ordinary disciple named Ananias. In Damascus, there was a disciple, which really just means learner, follower, okay, named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard of this guy. I've heard reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And now he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And the last part of that verse says, "And then he spent 2 or 3 days with the disciples in that place." We talked a lot this weekend about the importance of team, that disciple making is not a solo sport. We do it together. We do it in families. We do it in pairs. That's very biblical. Jesus sent the disciples out 2 by 2 into every place that he was about to go. So I want to make 4 points today as we talk, just so you know. You can count them. You'll know when I'm almost done. That's important. I know that. It's important. Because this tummy starts growling at some point. Lunch is ready. Yeah. So I want to make 4 points today about Jesus. Because sometimes the way we think about Jesus impacts what we think about and how we practice or don't practice disciple making. So I think that we can glean from this passage today 4 key things about Jesus that we, as disciple makers, need. First and foremost, I want us to remember that Jesus is the living God who is still speaking today. In this story, we see a vision, we see dreams, and there's other ways that the Lord is speaking today. He'll highlight the scripture, maybe something as you're reading in the scripture, maybe part of it becomes a little more bold, and you'll say, "Huh, the Lord's highlighting that to me. I wonder what he wants me to learn." You could learn from other people in terms of hearing from the Lord. You could maybe even learn something from a sermon every so often and hear from God speaking. But in this passage, we see that Jesus knows Ananias. And we know that because he calls him by name. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord." Yeah, that Holy Spirit that we study in the book of Acts over this weekend directed and led and prevented the people from speaking and told them where to go to speak and told them who to talk to, who not to talk to. The Holy Spirit directed their disciple-making efforts in the book of Acts. He can open doors. He can close doors. He is still working today in speaking today. About a year ago, a good friend of mine is also one of my disciples that I have worked with on an ongoing basis. He's blind. His wife is half blind. He had a major heart attack last January. I mean, it was serious. He coded 3 times on the table. The doctor told him at one point that he had been the sickest person in the whole hospital. They didn't think he was going to make it through the night, but he did. And through a miracle of prayer that lasted about a week long and about 40 people, we saw a miraculous turnaround. But as they took the tube out that was supporting his breathing, and he was hoarse from that, he motioned me to come over to his hospital bed, and he said, "Grace, I saw Jesus. Grace, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves my wife. Jesus loves everybody." And I was like, wow. I said, well, John, you know, save your throat. When you get better, I want to talk to you about that encounter with Jesus. And so about a week later, I had an opportunity to interview him and say, tell me, what was that like? What was it like? Just give me the story. He says, well, I saw four lights. Now, you know I'm blind, right? But I saw four lights. And in the middle of them, and I thought they were angels. I'm pretty sure they were angels. But in the middle of those lights, Jesus came. And I couldn't resist. I said, what do you look like? And he said, well, he had brown hair. He was wearing kind of this dress shirt. He had this deep red robe on. And then it looked like there were, this was kind of strange, but there were thorns in his hair, kind of like in a circle. I was like, wow. Man, Jesus is still walking with us, still suffering with us. He's not putting on that gold crown until everybody's there on that day when we're all singing that song to him. When around the throne there's people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation, all singing the same song, not concerned if it's contemporary or traditional, right? But they're all singing the same song to the glory of God. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah, man, I was touched by that. So then I said, what was he like? He says, well, he was delightful and exciting and scary all at the same time. He goes, I don't know how all those things could be true at once, but they were. I was so glad to see him. And at the same time, I thought to myself, oh, I'm seeing Jesus and I'm scared. I asked him, is it my time, Lord? And he said, no. You're not done here on earth yet, John. You've got work to do. I want you to make it right with your people. And I want you to get your affairs in order. And then we'll talk. And John said, but I want to talk to you every day. And Jesus says, I like that. I want to talk to you every day. I'm never too busy to hear you. And at that moment, they revived him. And he came back and he noticed the doctors, and he was back in his, back in aware, and had come back. And he told me, he said, Grace, I love Jesus. And Jesus loves you and my wife and everybody. He said that same thing again. But honestly, I want to tell you, I really had some doubts before this. I know we had been looking at the Word and we'd been learning stories about Jesus, but yeah, I just really wasn't sure about him. But not anymore. He said, I have to testify. I just have to testify about how much God loves us. Mm-mm-mm. Our God is a living God who still speaks to us today. Maybe the challenge is, we got wax in our ears, right? Maybe we're not listening. Maybe we don't know to listen. We got to get those ears cleaned out and get attuned to the voice of God. Notice what's not there in the story. Sometimes it's hard to notice what's not there, but every other time in the scriptures where you see an angel appear to someone, what's the first thing they say? Don't be afraid, right? They fall down. They act as if they're dead. They have to be strengthened even to stand up, all that stuff. Here, because Jesus lives inside us through the Spirit, when Jesus says, Ananias, he just says, yes, Lord. There's an intimacy. There's a connection. There's a friendship there that's not like it was before. There's something different because Jesus is living inside. The next point is that Jesus is sovereign. There is nothing that comes to you that has not already come through the hands of the Father. There's no circumstance that you are encountering. There's no difficulty you're experiencing that God doesn't know about. He is sovereign. That's just a fancy word for saying he knows everything about everything all the time. He's sovereign. And he's in control of it too. He can direct and move things and people around and make people encounter people. And we see that in this story. You've got Ananias sitting in Damascus. You've got Paul traveling 150 miles on a certain day to get to Damascus. And then you have Jesus knocking him off his horse or whatever, getting him in, blinding him, and then calling Ananias to go connect with Paul. If you think about the probabilities of that happening by accident, oh my gosh, that would be just like astronomical, right? So this is what shows us, demonstrates to us that God is in control. He knows everything, and he directs everything. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." And listen to this, "which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's two different kinds of time that it talks about in the Bible. There's chronos time. That's the one we're used to. Click, click, click. That's your clock always moving in that one direction, right? That's chronos time. And then there's something in the Bible called kairos time. And that time is the right time. The opportune time, the time that's ripe. It's what it said about Jesus. It says, at just the right time, Christ came to die for the ungodly. It was at a point in time that was ripe in history. And that's what's happening in this story. The call of Ananias, the ordinary disciple, to go and pray for Paul was a kairos moment. I'm sure glad that Ananias went, because two-thirds of our New Testament were written or co-written by Paul. What if he hadn't gone? Right? Our obedience matters. Yeah, so Jesus is the one, this is the third point, by the way, Jesus is the one who invites us to partner with him to build his body on earth. You see, God could have brought Saul all the way to salvation all the way by himself. He could have done it very easily. Boom. But he didn't. He chose to work through Ananias. He wanted Saul to be connected to the disciples there. He wanted Saul to be part of the team. He didn't want Saul to be a lone ranger. Yes, Jesus is inviting us to partner with him to build his body on the earth. What a privilege. What a responsibility. What an adventure. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Friends, it's really good news that God no longer wants to count people's sin against them, and that he's provided a way for them to come back into the family to be reconciled to himself. And the beautiful thing is that he's given to us as the ambassadors, it's who we are, the ministry of that reconciliation and the message of that reconciliation. Now, note what you don't see Jesus say. He doesn't say to Ananias, "You'll be fine. There's no risk here. You won't be arrested." No. Because oftentimes faith is spelled R-I-S-K. But why? Because Jesus is looking to build our trust in Him, not in what we think we know. And He's building our trust in our partnership with Him as we respond in obedience. My friend always says, it's not that we have to partner with God to, you know, do this thing. It's that we get to, because His way is the best way. Finally, oh, you guys love that word, I know. The fourth point. Jesus is Lord. Our obedience is the key to our growth in faith. Yes, Lord is really the only acceptable response to when Jesus calls, to when the Holy Spirit prompts. Jesus is Lord. I want you to notice, too, the great confidence that God had in Ananias. When He's speaking to Ananias, He says to him, I've already told him, Paul, I've already told him that you're on your way to pray for him. Right? I was like, man, does God have that kind of confidence in me? That if He asks me to do something and sends me to someone and tells them I'm coming, then I'll be there. He had confidence in Ananias. Someone named Ananias is coming to pray for you before he had talked to Ananias. That's just amazing to me. Jesus reminds him, go. And in this case, He actually gives him an explanation. We don't always get that when the Holy Spirit prompts us, right? Because we are the creature. He is the creator. And we have to remember that relationship is not equal, right? When He says go, we go. We're the creature. He's the creator. I was doing a children's sermon maybe 3 weeks ago now. I was preaching on John 15. And in there it says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And so I was gathering these children. They're really small, like 5 and 3, something like that. There's 4 of them. And I thought I was being so cool and coming up with this question. I thought this question was a slam dunk. And I said, do you think that you are smarter than your mommy? To a child, they nodded their head and thought they were smarter than their mommy. That was not the answer that I thought I was going to get. Out of the mouths of babes, right? And then I asked the second question, do you think God is smarter than your mommy? Oh, yeah. Like they were like, their whole body was into that answer. They were bending over. Absolutely, God is smarter than my mommy. And I thought, man, how often am I like that toddler, thinking that I'm smarter than God? And God is so kind in the way He's patient with us. A couple nights ago, right before I got ready to come here, I went to the Walmart to get a charger because I had left mine at the last hotel I was in. And while I was there, I noticed these, you know, these little bricks that you can charge your phone kind of on the go with. And it just kind of highlighted to me like, oh, you should get one of those. And I'm like, I don't need that. You know, I can just plug my phone in when I get to the hotel. Fly into Philly. Get to the hotel. There had been an accident where an 18-wheeler had pulled out some telephone poles. No power at the hotel. No power. And my phone was on like 1% red. Right? How kind the Holy Spirit. How kind to care for me, to think, you know, Grace, I want your phone to be charged. I want you to be able to connect with the people you need to. But, you know, not listening. you know what, friends? I keep trying. Because I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey to become like Jesus, who always did what the Father told him to do. He looked at what the Father was doing and he did what the Father asked him to do. He was a man of perfect obedience. I'm far from it. But friends, I am still on the way. And maybe that instance of the beautiful kindness of the Spirit to me will help me the next time the Spirit prompts me. The question is, where are you today? What is your cutting edge of growth? Where are you on the way? Is it hard for you to believe that Jesus is still speaking today and wanting to direct us to express the love he has for this lost and lonely and hurting world? Or is it challenging for you to trust God's sovereignty, that he's got all these details and things worked out, that he's got good works for you to walk in? Is that challenging for you to think about? Or are you just having a hard time thinking about embracing your identity as an ambassador of Christ? Or finally, do you find yourself still wrestling with surrendering to the lordship of Jesus in your life? Knowing that your only answer can be yes, Lord. When we confess, it just means to tell the truth. So as you look at these questions that are up here, as you look at these questions, where is it that you need to talk to Jesus? Where is it that you need to tell the truth and turn towards this amazing, kind, patient, humble, meek, still wearing the crown of thorns, Jesus, who's walking with you, who lives inside you? I've asked David to come and help us respond so that we have a chance to talk to Jesus about this, to respond to Jesus, because the Word of God is not only to be taken in, but it's meant to impact how we live. So, David.
I've been sitting on something for a little while now, and just kind of waiting and watching, you know, Lord, when is it time to share this? Yeah, praise team, you can come on up and get started. And I just felt this morning when Grace shared this is time to share this with you. And maybe God wants to start doing this today. I don't know, but it comes with a little story. When Emily and I were just here for a couple months, everything was pretty early. It might have been the end of the summer. We were out to lunch with some people, and we see Miss June is there at the same restaurant. June Crowley, are you here today, June? I don't think I saw her come in. Maybe she's watching online. But June's one of our prayer warriors. She's part of our prayer team, and she just walked up to us as we're having our lunch. We go, oh, hey, June. And she says, Pastor David, I had a dream last night, and we were in the sanctuary at Connection, and the altar was just full of people. Like, everybody in the room was at the altar. And God was just bringing them forward. I was like, wow. You know, I think we're going to see that someday, June. I really do. And we've noticed, some people have told me they've seen, like, the last couple months, like, we've had a lot of time at the altar lately. It just seems like God just keeps stirring in us. And we're not trying to manufacture some kind of emotional experience or something. We're just finding that people want to meet with God. They're engaging his presence, and they're finding healing. They're finding freedom, and he's just working, right? Awesome, awesome, God. But something clicked for me recently when I was listening to a message about the harvest that God wants to bring the lost home. And I think he told me, the time you see the altar full of people is going to be when all of us are up front, not just for ourselves, but when we're catching God's heart for the world. That's when this altar is going to be full of people, because it's people who are realizing, God, you want to use me to be one of those everyday Ananias disciple makers. You want to work in my life for the sake of the people that aren't yet in this room. And I believe we're going to see the most people, more people than we've ever seen, come to meet with God, to be at the altar, when we catch God's heart, when we're weeping, not just for ourselves, we're weeping for the people out there that God is pursuing, that he wants to bring home. So as we often do, we're just opening this space to meet with God. Every one of those questions that said, you know, talk to God about it. However God is meeting you in this message today, come and talk to him about it. And if you feel moved to just come to this space to make a physical response and say, Lord, I'm walking forward to the altar. Use me, Lord. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still figuring out, but I want to be used by you to reach this world. I want to just show up here so I can just show up out there in the world to connect people with Jesus. I just believe that there's a lot of us in this room who are ready for that, who are ready for more, who are ready to go out of their comfort zone and take steps with Jesus. Go ahead.
We can't do it. We need the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. That's what it means to be a new creation, is to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness of Jesus so that we live like Jesus lived.
That's it. That's why we come to the altar. Because it's like, Lord, I can't do it. I surrender. Worship team is going to lead us. Let's just lift up the name of Jesus. Come and surrender to him and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I can't do this. Use me.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.